Blog Talk Radio.
We're cutting the show short tonight. Got to listen to that presidential debate, you know.
It's a good way to start off the evening there, Marcus.
We can't get that kind of music loud enough, can we?
I mean, no. You just can't do it.
Yeah. That's right.
That's some good stuff, Mike, right there.
Kevin.
Yes, sir. Mike, is Mike here?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, there he is.
Oh, okay. Marcus unmuted me now.
Oh, you've been unmuted the whole time. We've heard you humming along to a song you never heard before.
Actually, I have. That's the kind of stuff I grew up with.
Yeah.
I used to push my toy trucks around the house listening to stuff like that, okay?
That's right.
I didn't, but
I argued with my mom a lot about it. She said once they have haircuts and wear plain clothes, then guess what? Alternative
you
rock came along.
Speaking of haircuts, that was my favorite song when I was a kid, was George Thorogood's Get a Haircut and Get a Real Job. I loved that song. Don't ask me why, but as a kid, I loved that song.
Cray.
Probably because, you know, I grew up in the late 80s and early 90s, and I used to have a rat tail, and my dad hated it.
A rat tail.
Yeah, a rat tail, man.
No, you actually had hair.
Well, yeah, I used to have hair. I used to be blonde as shit, too.
A mullet. Mullet.
Yeah. Yep.
Rat tail. That's what the Amish boys used to hang from them buggies. In the front window of their buggies. Roach clips and rat tails. Oh, man. I don't know what that is. I never did know what it was, and I still don't know what that is. But anyhow, we got a lot to discuss tonight, and we got a short time to do it.
Yeah.
We got 53 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, there's a little bit to talk about. I mean, some of it's the same as some last week, just to touch on. But, I mean, you know, how about today? Today's the 29th. I don't know what that means to anybody. But for the trucking world, that means that today was the first day of the new hours of service.
Mm-hmm.
And
business as usual. For those of us that run paper, just business as usual.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious. There's some times where I almost wish I at least had access to a usable ELD in my truck, because I'd really love to see how the programs are working.
How they've been updated.
The new hours of service.
I'd like to see how many malfunctions there is today.
Who's having problems? Who's not? Who's gonna follow the rules, and the thing's gonna tell them that they were wrong or something like that? You know what I mean? I have a feeling it's probably not gonna be a super smooth process for a little bit. There's gonna be glitches and bugs somewhere. Not to mention there's still a lot of controversy as to just how they're supposed to work and how they're gonna be enforced. I tell you, I was actually talking to Hutch today, Brian Hutchins, if you don't know who, I'm sure a lot of you know who he is. We were talking about the hours of service.
No.
And he's like, man, he goes, I'm getting irritated at people saying that ain't going to help us out and this and that and the other thing. And I let him talk a little bit, and I'm like, you do realize, like, it works the same as the 8 and 2 now as far as time-wise. What do you mean? I said, dude, it's not the cumulative like it was supposed to be. Oh, well, that makes a big difference. Yeah. Yeah, no shit.
Of course, we're still waiting
for... There's that. You know, the thing is, you know, he recalled that last year at 10-4, which is going to be a topic of discussion here, too, because that's this week. But last year at 10-4, if you remember, Joe DeLorenzo from the FMCSA came out on the mall and brought some poster boards and markers, or we had some there, and then he drew out examples and
diagrammed it out.
I don't remember and I can't speculate because I didn't actually stand there and watch it because I was off talking to someone else. But, you know, Hutch remembers that the way he diagrammed it out was how we all thought it was supposed to be, even how the acting administrator, just so people don't
acting
get it right.
Acting administrator.
Not the administrator. Get it right.
Even thought as of the end of last week when we talked to him that that's how it was supposed to be. so, you know, it's not, unfortunately. It's not. You don't get your full 11 and 14 back after you finish your second rest period to equal 10 hours. If you want that full amount back, you have to take a full 10-hour break at that second one, not just the remainder of what you didn't take earlier. If you take the remainder of what you didn't take earlier, it works just like the 8 and 2 does now, where you only get X amount of hours that you worked before that back. So, I mean, in reality, when it comes down to it, they kind of gave us basically what OIDA wanted at the end of the day. The one thing that they didn't put on that list when they came out with the changes is, in all reality, what we got. Because it allows us to basically just extend our day up to 3 hours, and you still have to take a full 10-hour break if you want to get your full hours back for the next day.
Pretty much.
So that's actually extremely disappointing. Like it was on such a good path, and people were upset even about that in the beginning. And it's like, no, you don't understand what they really gave us. Like, it was huge. If you could have used it as a cumulative, and now that you can't, that's almost like a, I don't know, it's almost like a slap in the face. But hopefully, these are the kind of things that having the sub committee. The Mix Act that's going to be made up of drivers.
Tell us, what is the Mix Act?
We'll
what does that mean?
The Mix Act, it's a bunch of people that have no idea how to do our job that dictate how we do our job. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So hopefully with having a panel of drivers now involved, maybe we can help make things like this a little bit better. Who knows? Maybe it'll even be revisited. I don't know. But, I mean, it's kind of, I don't know. I hate to talk bad about it because we all worked pretty hard on it. A lot of people did, not just those of us that went to DC like we do and stuff like that, but there are so many other people involved. And when you really look back through it, through protests and slow rolls and all that stuff to really, you know, make these wheels turn to make this happen. And it was like, you know, we even had that conversation at GATS last year about how they knew they were going to get sued. You know, they came to our booth there and they knew they were going to end up getting sued over it because it's pretty drastic because everybody said this is what we need and yada, yada, yada on the comments. Right. We even offered that if it would come to that, because we were excited that they gave us what they did, because it was a pretty huge step in the right direction, that we would even go to bat and go testify as drivers that this is better for us, because we're not all the same. We're human beings. And now somewhere along the line here,
something was lost in translation.
Yeah, but the thing is, so let me find this here because, you know, this was sent to me from the acting administrator last week in an email, and it outlines the four key things that they changed. Right?
Let's understand something. When you're talking about the acting administrator, you are referring to the acting administrator now being Wiley Deck.
Yes, correct. Not the other
right
guy.
Schmuck.
So, yeah, there's that. So, I'm just going to jump to the one that's the big one. So, there's one. There's the, you know, okay. So we have the. Adverse conditions, which allows you to go 2 hours, whatever. That to me is kind of a moot point. Then they have the short haul exemption that now can use a 14-hour day instead of a 12-hour day and go 150 miles instead of a 100-mile radius. That's pretty cool. I think that's pretty neat. I think, I don't know. I know some of the unions or whatever, I guess, are a little up in arms about that. I'm not really 100% sure why, because it allows them to run a little further without having to use a freaking logbook. But, hey, whatever. And then the 30-minute break. So let's make this clear, because there's a little confusion with some people I was talking to on the radio show with Sean McIntosh and Joe Denny the other night. They asked me to come on their show and talk about it. So the way it was up until today, time you logged on, started your day, your clock, 14-hour clock, within 8 hours of coming on duty, you had to stop and take a 30-minute break that was supposed to be logged as off-duty. You weren't supposed to do anything. In fact, there was times where we were even told you couldn't even sit in the driver's seat, even if you were parked to take it. You had to sit in the bunk or the passenger seat, right? That has now since changed to the point where the only time you have to worry about the 8-hour window is after 8 consecutive hours of driving, not on duty time, of driving. So if you started driving at noon and it is now 8 o'clock at night, you do physically actually have to stop and take a 30-minute break. However, the 30-minute break is now able to be counted as either on duty or off duty time. That means getting fuel, chaining, loading, whatever, okay, can be a count as your 30-minute break. It'll count towards it. So if you stop at any point in your day and you do something that's on duty for 30 minutes, your break's automatically done. It don't matter if you were actually working or not.
But it has to be 30 minutes. It can't be 2 15 minutes broken up.
Correct. It has to be 30 consecutive minutes of time.
Right.
It can't be a cumulative to equal 30 minutes. It has to be 30 consecutive minutes, which, I mean, hey, that's really not that difficult to do.
Right.
So, and the great thing is the only time you have to worry about that 8-hour window, like I said, is after 8 consecutive hours of driving. So, you know, there's that. So that's actually a pretty good thing. I mean, that basically almost null and voids what it was before. But the idea behind it is, before some people say, well, it's supposed to be about resting. No, what they want you to do is get your mind off of that white line. Okay. They want you to be able to think about something other than cars around you and what your vehicle's doing while you're driving. They want you to get out of the truck, you know, check your load, kick your tires, go get something to eat. Take your mind and put it elsewhere other than on the road. That's the whole point behind it, is that. So, you know, whatever you want to do, basically. Which is cool. That's kind of nice. A lot of people hated that 30-minute break. And, I mean, quite honestly, that took 30 minutes out of your work day every day, because we couldn't go 14 and a half hours a day just because we had to take a half hour off, right? So, you know, basically, in a 7-day week, you're getting 3.5 hours back if you do that. So now we're going to move on to the sleeper berth provision. And I'm going to read this, and I want everyone to listen carefully. And I might even read it twice, just so you hear it, think about it, and hear it again. Because when you read the way this is worded, and this is in an email directly from the man running the FMCSA at the moment, okay, obviously he didn't write this. This was written by his people there. But this is how this is worded. And this is important, because this goes back to even how we've heard it's going to be enforced by certain entities of enforcement. So here goes the first one. The sleeper berth provision modifies the sleeper berth exception to allow a driver to meet the 10-hour minimum off-duty requirement by spending at least 7 rather than at least 8 hours of that period in the berth, and a minimum off-duty period of at least 2 hours spent inside or outside the berth, provided the 2 periods total at least 10 hours, and that neither qualified period counts against the 14-hour driving window. Now, think about what I just said, and I'm going to read it one more time. And listen. Sleeper berth provision modifies the sleeper berth exception to allow a driver to meet the 10-hour minimum off-duty requirement by spending at least 7 rather than 8 hours of that period in the berth, and a minimum off-duty period of at least 2 hours spent inside or outside the berth, provided that the 2 periods total at least 10 hours, and that neither qualify period counts against the 14-hour window. Now, I realize that's probably a lot to listen to, which is why I read it twice and emphasized certain parts. But if you read this and break down what it's saying, it literally says your 2 periods need to equal 10 hours to count as your 10-hour break. That tells me that after the completion of that second period that totals 10 hours, you're able to start over with your 14-hour window.
Right.
Not the way they're saying it works now. And this is important because there's been some, and now I can't remember exactly who it was, but there have been some enforcement agencies that have said they're going to enforce the rules the way this is written, because that's how they are interpreting it. Once again, we're dealing with the comes down to officer interpretation. So now,
and versus
how,
how it really says now.
Right. So now,
tell us how,
going
tell
back
us
to what
how
I said earlier about the ELDs, I wish I had one sometimes to see how this works. What's going to happen, let's just say someone's on an ELD, and they do it the way this is worded, the way we thought it was supposed to be, where it can be a cumulative 10 hours in 2 periods. Is that ELD going to tell them they're in violation? Or is it going to let them go? Right?
Right.
If it lets them go and it doesn't show a violation when they get DOT'd, no one's going to know the difference.
Somebody with an ELD, yeah, hit one if you're listening.
Now, here's the thing, and I want people to understand this. You don't have to do it this way. You can continue to run it the way we've been running it since 2004, whenever they came out, with the 10 and 14. You can continue to do it this way. However, then you don't take advantage of being able to stop your 14 hours and get you some time to get something further down the road after you're done loading or whatever, you know. But it's a little crappy to think about, because it was such a good – I know it wasn't – you know, people wanted 6 and 4s and 5 and 5s, and we even pushed for a 5 and 5 for teams, right? But
– long time ago.
It was going to be – such a better outcome with the accumulative 10 hours than the way we're being told it's going to work now. And man, I don't really know what to say, because I know when these first came out, we talked, you know, pretty highly of them, in regards of, we were surprised that they were giving us what they were giving us, even though some wanted more. But this is, I don't know. It's
disappointing, Mike, is what it is.
Yeah,
it's disappointing
to be nice
because,
about it.
Well, there's really no way to be nice about it. You know, I'm just going to be honest. It's really disappointing because, you know, the people that we've worded it for a long time, the people that sit behind a desk all day and make the rules and regulations up for the people that sit behind the wheel every day and know how it actually works, don't know what they're doing, because they think they actually did something. And there's some people that do like it, okay, driver-wise. There are drivers that do like the 8-2 split.
Well,
it's
still giving you a little bit of flexibility now, whereas, okay, the 8-2 split that was still available as of yesterday didn't stop your 14 hours, whereas now it does stop your 14 hours. So, you know, if you're going to take a positive out of it, there you go.
Well, there's that. But
I guess
essentially all you're doing is you're extending your day, and if you're not
yeah.
get In my opinion,
if you can't use a cumulative
full,
to equal 10,
right,
you're just extending your day, because now you got to take a full 10 hours off at the end to get a full day back the next day. Now you just extended your day literally by 3 hours.
So basically what we have,
you know,
we have it reversed back to where it was earlier when they changed it, you know, it's just mass confusion. So why don't we just go back to the easiest, simplest way of operating? No log books at all. No hours of duty. Run it off your insurance. Run it off your MVR report, and run it that way. That would be the safest, right? That just makes sense.
I still think the best option to still have some type of order in some people's eyes and whatever is give us 14 hours in a 24-hour period to work. Whatever we got to do in that 14 hours. Give it to us to work. I don't want more than 14 hours in a day. Who the hell wants to work? I mean, I realize some of us have, and we're capable of it, and whatever else, right? I get it. Trust me.
Yeah.
But in all actuality, if we were able to stop our clock and rest as we needed to or in between stuff, we really probably don't work much more than 14 hours a day anyway. And why the hell do you want to be, you know, that's a personal option to go more than that. Why do you want it to be something where someone can ask you to go more than that, really? I mean, most people work an 8 to 9 hour day. Why the hell are we out here working for peanuts for the price a truck driver gets paid, and we're working a 14-hour day? That's kind of how I'm looking at it. You know, not that we're not capable of it, but shit. Ain't nobody paying us out here, whether you're a company driver or an owner-operator, what's worth to do this job anymore these days. No, but on the end of things as far as fatigue and driver morale and people driving the way they're driving right now because they're up against this clock. If you gave us 14 hours in a 24-hour period to do what we wanted to do, needed to do, I think you'd see a big change in the drivers out here, the way they drive out here, and I think you'd start seeing a change in the safety on the road. But unfortunately, for the same reasons, a decent set of change to hours of service got ruined is because there's people out there that are on things like the mixed sack that are totally against us as truck drivers. They kind of have it out for us, if you will.
Yep.
And they think that the more they regulate it, the safer we're going to be. But guess what? They don't know any different because the assholes never did our job. And I'm not really sorry about that. The safety advocates have no business being on anything that has to do with trucking, especially when it comes down to our rules and how we work.
Nope.
And remember, Mike, freaking business.
And remember, we told them that. I was there when we told them that.
Are they bad people? No. We've met with them.
No.
We get along with them fine. In fact, there's things we totally agree with them on. Still don't think they should have a say in what we do. It should be people from the road out here doing that. And they're taking that step in the right direction with that subcommittee.
Submarine.
For those of you that are wondering why there are certain things that are being emphasized, it's because of, we'll call it constructive criticism last night on the Schmitz show.
I mean, what it comes down to is we need to, you know, everybody needs to settle down. You know, if people are worked up about this subcommittee, let's settle down. Let's sit back. Let's let it play out. Put your put your resume in.
Yeah.
As they're wording
it's open like sometime in October. And it's like 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks to get your they call it an application. Yeah, that's what I thought. But it actually like a resume. This is, and you know what? I agree with this. After I thought about this, I agree with this way. Because you know what? If they had an application, it would be answer this question, answer that question, answer this question, answer that question. No. If you want to be a part of this, they're asking you, hey, send us your resume. Why do you feel you should be on this? Show us your experience, your record, your this, your that, what you've done, blah, 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 blah. Why do you feel you should be on this subcommittee? I think it's a pretty good idea, to be honest with you. I actually agree with that totally to be able to, you should have to not answer generic questions. You should have to be able to write something about yourself with facts to prove that you can be on this. One, it shows from your perspective what you've done so far in your career, how you've done it, and your ability to present something, which is important because let's not forget, at the end of the day, you're going to be working on with a government entity. You have to be able to present things. Right? There's a lot of guys I know out here that could drive circles with experience around a lot of people that would be good for this. But I know that they're not going to be good at presenting things. It's just not them. Nothing against them. It's just not them, you know, as a person. And that's fine. There's people like that. I'm not even really like that. I've never been like that. In fact, I've done things in the last couple of years that people that know me from school were like, wow, you what? Yeah, me, really. So
right.
I get it. That's just the facts of life right there. But the other part of it is, you know, the question was brought up last night. How is the subcommittee not going to be swayed by the actual MixSAC committee just for what they want? So let's just say it this way. The drivers say one thing, and the safety advocates and the other desk jockeys that are on the MixSAC say, no, you're wrong. We want it this way, and even though you said otherwise, we're going to do it this way. Or they come up with fancy wording to get those people on the subcommittee to agree to their way. One, we're truck drivers. Very difficult to change our minds. So if even only the small majority of us on the subcommittee would agree to something, you're going to have a tough time changing the mind, especially when it comes to safety on the roads and why we feel that that's the better way to do it. Second, Wiley flat out said they want to publicize this subcommittee, right? They want to make it known that they are trying their best to the general public to make the road safer by taking people from the industry that do the freaking job and putting them on this committee to advise and counsel those on the actual MixSAC as to why something's good or bad or what should be done differently to make roads safer from driving experience in all different aspects of the industry. Now, think about this. If that's publicized and we're able to say, hey, boom, this is what we think should be done, or this is why your idea that you just came up with is not good, and they go and do it anyway, that's pretty much the ultimate accountability is public criticism.
Yep.
So I'm not too awful concerned about that aspect of the subcommittee, and even though it's a subcommittee, it's a pretty huge step in the right direction, and who knows, a year or two from now after doing this and seeing how it may work or whatever, who knows what other doors that may open, right? I mean, look, I was in the White House in May, and I flat out told the chief of staff, we need truck drivers involved in these different areas of government because we've sat in the hearings, we've sat in the meetings, I've heard people like OIDA, I've heard people like ATA, I've heard people like safety advocates, I've heard people like law enforcement sit there and bullshit their way through it and never actually answer the questions and give them a line of shit that sounded good and made no sense to those of us that sat there and actually do the job.
Yep.
And maybe,
exactly.
Just maybe, this is the start of that. So instead of being on negative Nancy, get your head out of your ass and look at the positive side of it and maybe step up to the plate and work with everybody like some of y'all preach to make it better and make it happen and take this opportunity that a fellow truck driver, John Grosvenor, has worked to make happen. Because this didn't come from Washington. This came from everybody over the last couple of years coming together and saying this.
It's what we've been asking for, and now we have it.
Came from everybody saying it, and it came from one man, one individual thought of it. And I commend John for thinking of it and keeping the pressure on. And by keeping
Damn
the pressure
right.
on, look where it got us, you know. And that's another thing. Okay, so People want to criticize the new acting administrator, okay? You know, Mike, you spoke on it last night with Lee and Lisa. I'll say this. It says something for him, in my opinion, that one of the first things he did when he come into office, boom, called John Grosner up and says, hey, John, remember that deal we've been talking about? We're going to do
it.
Yeah. Right.
And it involved getting with drivers, meeting with actual drivers, getting actual drivers on a committee right away. That was one of Wiley's
and I
first
like
things
Wiley.
He did.
Right.
I think Wiley's a pretty good guy.
I like Wiley. I liked Ray Martinez as well. And I know there's been some criticism there with all, whatever. But I did like Ray, and I really felt like he was genuine. I like Wiley as well. I feel like we still need to see some actions. We still need to see some things coming through from him. But, I do think he's – I do think he's fit
I'm sure we
to
will.
Have
he's
that
just
position.
Started, you know? Yeah,
right.
I believe so too.
Right.
It would be, It'll be interesting to see what goes. But I think instead of jumping to conclusions, everybody needs to sit back and listen to those of us that have been involved in this and stuff and be able to explain it as to how it actually is before they just jump to conclusions, because it's baby steps. I know it's baby steps, and it takes time, and nobody wants to hear that.
So in a nutshell, Mike, can you just kind of reiterate what you said about the hours of service change that went into effect today, last night at midnight? Can you just, like, in a nutshell, capsulize it?
Yeah. So we have a two-hour extension for inclement weather conditions or anything that's a foreseeable issue that holds you up, I guess you could say. All right. I don't really know that was super necessary. There was already something kind of like that in place, but whatever. So that's part of it. Second, the short haul. Okay. So if you run within the 100-mile radius right now on the short haul, where you don't run a logbook, you run a time card, you are now able to use a 14-hour day instead of a 12 and run 150 air miles, not 100. I think that's pretty neat for the short haul guys, because there's some things where I've done that where, it's just a little out of, and it doesn't still take up your time for the day. So I think that's pretty decent. There's a 30-minute break that has been changed from instead of taking it within 8 hours of coming on duty, the only time the 8 hours comes into effect is after 8 consecutive hours of driving. You must stop for a 30-minute break. But your 30-minute break can now consist of on-duty time, fueling, loading, whatever. Okay? It must be 30 consecutive minutes. It can't add up to 30 minutes. It must be 30 consecutive minutes. But you can do it as on-duty time. So that really shouldn't be difficult. You know what I mean? That makes it fairly simple. And then we have not just an 8 and 2 now, but a 7 and 3 split on sleeper berth, where the smaller portion, the 2 or the 3 hour, can be either sleeper berth or just off-duty time. The bigger portion must be sleeper berth to count. And unfortunately, it works the same. It pauses your 14-hour clock. They all pause your 14-hour clock. But to get your full 14-hour day back the next day, you have to take 10 hours for that second break. If you only take the 7 or the 8-hour period, you only gain the hours back that you had before it, just like you do now with the 8 and 2 split. So that's the difference. It wasn't supposed to quite be that way, but it is.
So for those of us that are running the log books or maybe even the LDs, we don't know how it works on the LDs yet because we haven't heard from anybody or seen it ourselves. But basically, you can log the same as you're logging unless you're splitting your hours. But if you don't split your hours and you don't have a reason to split your hours to gain time,
if you don't have a reason to split your hours, you do it the way we've been doing it, yeah.
Right.
Status quo.
You don't have to change. The only difference would affect them would be the 30-minute. Now,
yep.
Can be used as on-duty working or off-duty.
Correct.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I will add this. Just because you can do your half-hour break while you're fueling, on-duty, not driving, and combine it with off-duty doesn't mean you can do it in the fucking fuel island.
Yeah, there's that.
So,
yep. So we've got 19 minutes left of the show. I don't know if we want to take any callers. You want to go on to something else?
I mean,
does anybody have any
callers waiting?
We don't have any that are waiting. No, if you want to ask us a question on this topic, press 1 and do it quickly.
Yeah,
we can always come back tonight.
Right. You know, I guess we'll go on to 10-4, which is this week. If y'all don't know what 10-4 on DC is by now, get out from under the rock you're living on, under, whatever. You know, that's this week. We're meeting down at the Fredericksburg Fairgrounds starting tomorrow. You can roll in starting at noon, I think. And then on Thursday also, there is parking there for trailers. It is secure while we're not going to be there, while we're up in D.C. at the mall. Thursday night, we're going to roll out of there and convoy up to the National Mall in Washington, D.C. and park the trucks on the National Mall. Not next to it on the street. On the mall. It's pretty epic thing.
Pretty amazing.
To see. Yeah, them trucks lined
right.
up on the National Mall like that. To roll in there at nighttime, come across the Potomac with the Washington Monument all lit up to your left and stuff like that. And you know, I've led it every year so far, and I can see a line of trucks as far as I can see in the mirror all lit up. And it's just, man, if it don't give you goosebumps, you're not breathing, as far as I'm concerned. And then we'll be there for the day Friday, and then Friday evening we'll convoy back out of there, back down to the fairgrounds of Fredericksburg. Now, normally we're there for like 3 days on a mall, but with the world being the way it is right now, you know, we're just doing it for the day Friday, but we'll go back to the Fredericksburg
Fairgrounds
Friday night.
I want to say something really quick about the goosebump thing. You know, as often as we, and when I say we, as USTA board members have frequent D.C., it still is, and it still does give you chills when you cross the bridge and you come into the territory of D.C. and that area is just – it really is. And I mean that, you know, D.C. to us is you know, we've been there so many times, it's kind of almost like, well, whoop-de-doo, it's D.C., here we are, whatever. But there's still something about that when you cross the bridge, cross the Potomac with the trucks, and you're headed to the mall to park on the National Mall, and be a part of that. Still, yeah, like Mike said, goosebumps. So go ahead.
It's wild.
It's something, that's for sure. Like I said, if you don't feel some type of way, you ain't breathing. It's pretty neat, and I'm honored to have had the little red cabbie leading it every year so far. You know, so I hope to see a lot of people there. If you don't know what it is, check it out at 10-4-DC.com. It's spelled out TENFOURDC.com. If you are going, please go and register on the website. They need you to do that, please. I am guilty of not doing it yet myself. But that is also like an act of signing, you know, like a release for the event and stuff like that. So please go on there and register if you're going, so that's taken care of and done. And you know, hope to see everyone there. We're going to be there Friday night hanging out. Saturday is a thing called Brew Fest. There's going to be food and you know, beer samples and liquor samples and whatever going on. People sharing the fairgrounds with us. So, you know, that'll be cool. And it'll be like a mini truck show for the locals and stuff like that. And then we'll hang out there Saturday night and have a trucker party and build some unity and camaraderie and and just have a good time and celebrate the fact that we're still going with it, even though everyone's afraid of the Rona. And
I'm excited.
You should be.
It's my first year.
I know. It's pretty neat. So I hope everyone's there. It's not, there's no agenda behind 10-4. You come, you talk about what you want to talk about to whoever you want to talk about it to, whether that's the general public, you make meetings with people, you talk to yourself. It doesn't matter. It's your story, it's your platform, you say it how you want. People ain't gonna be there to speak for you or represent you. You know, obviously we go as USTA because we believe in it. It's about bringing people together. It's about the industry. And as always, and we've offered this every year, and it has happened, if you're going and you make a meeting with your representative or anyone down there really, and you would like us to go along because either you believe in what we do and you want us to be there, or you're not sure how to go about it because you've never done it before and we do it frequently, that offer is always there to go along and just go along if that's what you'd like, or go and help you speak on a topic or whatever. So that's what we offer while we're there as USTA. So I like I say, I hope to see a lot of people there. It's a pretty awesome event. And
yep, we got 13 minutes left.
Yep. Thanks, NASA.
Did you want to talk about Pronto AI at all or something?
Well, yeah, we can talk about Pronto AI because that's something we haven't really touched on for a while, is the autonomous trucks. You know, AI, I stand for asshole injection, is basically what autonomous trucks are, because when they ram up your freaking ass in, when they don't know what they're doing, you're going to get injected. But so we talked about it before. I really don't know that we talked about it on the radio show, because I think it was before that, but I know I did some videos on it and stuff. And there was an exemption out there that Pronto AI wanted to extend the hours of service for those that are running, you know, testing the autonomous trucks, because they claimed that, you know, oh, well, they don't actually have to drive, so they're not as fatigued and they can go longer, because the truck's doing the driving. And basically, that was one of those things where we were told by some inside sources that if it went through, that was the beginning of the end, basically. And thank the good Lord above, people pulled together, made some comments, and it got shot down. And from what I understand from Lee and Lisa, that are very up on the autonomous stuff, it was shot down because they did not do what the FMCSA asked them to do, which was prove to them just how that driver was going to be either more rested or more alert in those extra few hours they were asking for than not. Because if he's supposed to be ready to take control of that truck at all times, sitting in the seat, how is that really much different than driving? And they were not successful at proving or providing any info or data as to how that was going to happen. Which really makes sense. How would you? Just because you may not physically be driving a truck down the road, if you're supposed to be, you know, here's a trick. I've talked about this before, and I'm going to say it again. Take a dollar bill, any type dollar bill, don't matter if it's a Benjamin or a Washington, okay? Have someone hold their pointer finger and their thumb apart. Put that dollar bill at the president's head long ways in between their fingers, holding it up and down to where the head is even with their thumb and their pointer finger. Make them look at you in the eye, or look somewhere, or look right at the dollar bill. It doesn't matter. And randomly let go of it. Now, this is only a dollar bill we're talking. It don't weigh nothing. I guarantee you 9 out of 10 people aren't going to grab that dollar bill before it slips past their fingers. The reason I'm saying this is because even if you have your hands not touching the wheel, but even at the ready, your hands could be hovering over the wheel. That truck blows a steer tire, you're never going to grab the wheel fast enough.
Nope.
Never going to grab the wheel fast enough. And a good indication of that is I don't know where you're going to find it, but I seen on Facebook, I think last week, there was a driver-facing camera of a guy coming around a ramp in Atlanta in the rain, going too fast in a Volvo or a Freightliner or something. And he started sliding. It was literally a Jesus take the wheel moment because this dude looked like a deer in headlights and he just let go of the damn steering wheel and held on to the seat. And that truck bounced off the walls and that steering wheel spun so fast back and forth a couple times, right?
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't have been able to grab that steering wheel if his life depended on it.
It
so
would
what
have
are
taken
you gonna
his
do
arm with
sit-
it like a PTO.
Yep. What are you going to do if you got this dude sitting in the seat and that happens? They're never going to grab it fast enough. So to be able to say that they're not as alert as one of us driving a truck is bullshit. If they're supposed to be there to be able to take control of that truck, they have to be as alert, probably more alert, because they got to be looking for things to be at the ready, to be able to take that time to reach up and grab the wheel. And if they ever come out with a law that says their hands have to be on it, well, they might as well just drive the damn thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it this way. Mike, I know you may have been through there recently. Marcus, you probably haven't been out there for a while, but there's a lot of people out there that have. I want to see how an autonomous truck would react to going through Joliet, Illinois on Interstate 80. I've been through there. I've been talking to you guys before when I've done this. Go through Joliet on I-80. And you hit one of them frickin' craters in the road. It'll literally, I've had it with my hands on the wheel, jerk the steering wheel
Indiana,
completely out of my hands.
Indiana I-70 does the same thing.
Indiana I-70.
Yeah.
Exactly. How do you react to that? How does it react to that and not overcorrect? Because there's so many aspects of an autonomous vehicle that I would like to see. No different than when you're going down the interstate and they're working on a bridge or something, or they're redoing one side of the interstate and it transitions over. There's no mapping that tells that computer that that's where that road goes. So how does that
work? They claim they have it as far as the reaction to a bump or a steer tire. There's too many different variables that can happen. You see some that just go down and they get to the shoulder. I had that happen earlier this year. I run something over. Then you have the ones that shred and yank the wheel. I don't know what kind of system they have on the steering of that truck or how powerful it is. I don't believe it.
Okay,
and even, there's a video of a Tesla doing exactly what you just said, coming into a construction zone where they, you know, put a barrier wall up to move it over to the shoulder or whatever. And the dude damn near smacks the thing because the car doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep. So let me just say this really quick, guys, anybody listening online, you can call in the show if you want to talk to us really quick. We've only got 6 minutes left, less than 6 minutes. The number is 516-387-1733. Press 1 if you want to talk with us or have a question for us. We are cutting the show short by 2 hours this evening. And like I said, anybody that's already on the phone listening, you want to press 1. If you have a question, get it to us. We'll try and answer it quickly here before we end the show. Normally our show is 3 hours long. It's every Tuesday evening, starting at 8 o'clock, ending at 11. But tonight we're cutting it short. So.
Cutting it short.
Press 1 if you want to talk.
So we can go watch
was
that.
Was it something
thing.
Else? The th- you
yeah,
know,
so
the
we
thing.
Can go watch the thing. Yeah, the thing.
The thing.
There, speaking of the thing, the rally. There is a huge parade across Ohio scheduled for October 17th for anybody that might be in the area of Bowling Green, Ohio, and has some time to just take the nearly 300-mile trip to across Ohio, ending up in Cleveland. That is October 17th, and it is on Facebook as well. It's a Facebook event, and you can reach that page or that event by typing in MAGA Trump 2020 Parade Across Ohio. And it's also a thin blue line back the blue parade as well. You can fly the flags for back the blue.
That's going to be pretty cool.
We have somebody that wants to talk here. Bring him in.
Bring him on.
Go ahead. 4331.
Can you hear me now?
Hear you now.
So
yeah, you're
it's
there.
A subcommittee, not a committee.
Correct.
No, it's a subcommittee. Sub, get
all
it right. Sub.
I was just making sure.
3 minutes
it's not
left.
Just a committee. It's a subcommittee.
Yeah.
Right.
You should get that right. You got scolded last night.
And it's the acting administrator, not the administrator, until he's voted in or whatever happens.
Right, right. So,
because that does make a difference.
We're in a bad area. If I move my phone, I lose connection. We're in Mike's day here of beautiful Pennsylvania running through the woods. Actually, I think we're real close to Alan Kelly's, because doesn't he live in Shiplinsburg's?
Clearville, but it's out, like around between Bedford Breezewood area.
All right. Yeah, we're at the John Deere dealer in the woods, so no internet.
There's a lot of phone.
Yeah, but hey, we're gonna listen to the debate here shortly. So.
Yes, we are. I'm excited for that anyway. We don't really get too political here, but all I'm going to say to that is all aboard.
Right?
Ah,
right?
But we deal with left and right. We like to be right, but we do deal with left as well. So not a.
And the older
not
left.
Not a just one.
He's okay. We all know somebody that's on the left. And he's okay because he's an older left. He's not of the new left.
But he doesn't understand that he's actually kind of right.
Right.
Holy cow.
I mean, you ain't
gonna
really confusing
this.
Somebody right now.
Hold on.
We love you, Todd.
My hero, Bill O'Reilly, is back on the air.
Oh, no, really?
Awesome.
Where?
He's on Right Side Broadcasting.
Where? I love that. Right Side is awesome. I've really been promoting the heck out of them. They're amazing. RSB Network,
okay.
Right Side Broadcast.
Yes. So you guys have a good night.
Well,
I guess turn on the radio and listen to the debate.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, we're not going to play a song. We'll just run it out here and see. We got... less than a minute left. So anybody want to say something?
Well, then,
apologize for the short show,
what?
Folks. But
this, we're doing our civic duties as Americans to listen to this debate. Probably get a few laughs out of it, and
we can continue our show next
short
week.
Ass to 10-4 this week. Get your ass to 10-4. And get your truck parked out on the National Mall. And y'all be safe out there. And we love y'all. Keep it cool on the stool, and we'll catch up with you next week.
We'll see you
tomorrow,
guys.
Yep.
Amen. We'll continue it next Tuesday evening at 8 o'clock p.m. EST. We'll try to have a three-hour show again next Tuesday evening starting at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Y'all have a good night.
Good night.
Thank you.